What's your Thanksgiving song?
No.
The cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Ooh, the turkey looks great.
Len.
Thank you for loving me.
Len.
Thank you for being there.
Oh, God.
Everyone's thanking.
Len.
The whole world's thanking you.
Stop.
Thanking
Len.
Us for thanking
Stop.
You.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Ooh, the turkey looks great. Thank you for loving me.
Len.
Thank you for being there.
Please.
Thank you for loving me. Everyone's thanking. The whole
Len.
World's thanking you. Thanking
Stop.
Us for thanking you.
He also wants to know, Joey Herbs, if you have had any more MIB encounters since last year.
Fortunately, no. I have to say this. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I was harassed for 7 years of that man's administration. It went on very shortly into W's tenure, and then they had bigger fish to fry. However, the difference between the time that the Clinton administration and the W administration, the tenor had completely changed. I was no longer being harassed, but they were still around. That is something that I had to bear in mind having to vote for Hillary. It's like, you know, if I'm personally voting for Hillary, I'm voting for my own personal harassment. Her husband harassed me, and I have no reason to believe that she wouldn't either. And then the question is, well, you know, look, I have to stand with the party. I have to stand with basic principles. But that was in the back of my mind. It's like, you know,
why
I was
you
not
harassed?
Treated well. That's what I would like to know. That's what I would like to know. I am not
the
goddamn
alien
enemy.
Shit. Because
yes.
No one goes after me, thank God.
Yes, it was that, and I am not the goddamn enemy. I am not a threat to the United States. I'm not a threat to anybody. Why the hell do I have these people around me making threats? Why the hell?
Weird.
And something that I'm never going to forget. You don't forget something like that.
Yeah, well, we talked a little bit about it on past shows, so we'll let folks go there and check those out because we don't want to dredge up all that, but it sounds spooky
right.
as shit.
Right.
And we don't want to tempt
But no, I have not had any further encounters, and I have been very peaceably left alone, and I'm grateful for that.
There you go. PJ Bear is going to be the turd in the punch bowl here. He wants to know if we're going to discuss the crazy election results, which we did for the first half hour of the show, and the conspiracy theories, which I have yet to hear. Although I've actually propagated some of them in my own mind, of Russian hackers and the FBI colluding with Trump to help him win, or are you just going to avoid opening that can of worms? Like you know, he's shaming us into addressing the thing. Let
I'll
me say
that.
First, yeah, let me just say first so I can clear my brain of the conspiracy theory that was rattling in my head, that I kind of think that if there was a conspiracy theory, if it was sort of like swung in Trump's favor through chicanery, let's say, I think that was what the whole point of him being like saying the election was going to be rigged and he wasn't going to win, so that when he won via rigging, people would be too his enemies or his critics or whatever would be too, you know, it would be like they couldn't claim that he rigged it to win because they were laughing at him all this time about saying it would be rigged, so he lost. You know what I'm saying? He pulled a double whammy,
yeah.
reverse mind meld on us to steal the election and trick people into not questioning it. But that's just a conspiracy theory, folks, so, you know, take of it what you will. But go on, Bruce.
I will be glad to touch that. I'm just going to point you in a direction and let you decide that for yourself. First off, I do not believe that the Russians hacked the emails or any of this other stuff. I don't think it was an collusion there. Second off, what was the other part of that question? Hold on.
Did the Russians and the FBI team up to steal the election for Trump?
Okay. Yeah, the second part of that. Is a guy from the CIA, who has been with the CIA since Nixon and is involved with a whole lot of dirty trick stuff, who came out on the Alex Jones show, take that for what you will.
Oh, Roger Stone.
And, I think his name was Pichenik.
He worked for Nixon?
Yeah.
No, that's Roger Stone.
Oh, Roger Stone?
Yeah, he has Nixon tattooed literally on his fucking back. He's a lunatic.
No, this was a different guy. It was something like Pichenik. In any event, this guy said straight up that this was a CIA rig putting Trump in. Now, take that for what it's worth. It's the Alex Jones show, and I'm always a little leery of Alex Jones. he's one of those guys that, like Robert Redford and Jane Fonda, I'm always saying, please get off my side.
Yeah.
I often agree with him, but he kind of goes extreme, and he puts everything in a bad light.
Yeah.
which doesn't mean that I always necessarily disagree with him. Sometimes I do agree with him. So I just say that, and in that light. If you go to the Alex Jones Show and look it up, I'm sure you could find it. There is this guy, like I said, I think his name is Pechenik, who claims to have been involved with all of this stuff and has CIA credentials, and he says that they rigged it for Trump. So
yeah.
Just take that for what it's worth. I don't know. I would have thought if it was going to be rigged, it would be rigged for Hillary. The Clintons and Bushes are completely owned and operated by the CIA. I would think if the CIA was going to stick their candidate in, it would be Hillary.
I think there was a lot of, like, chicanery involved behind the scenes on both sides. I mean, we only saw what was in the Democrats' emails, and it's like, all the, you know, I don't necessarily
right.
blame the people who were like, look at the WikiLeaks and all this shit, but it's like, dude, if we could read the Republicans' emails, God knows what would be in there. So it's like, it's all dirty pool, folks.
It's all dirty pool. I suspect, and I cannot prove this, but I suspect the hand of Henry Kissinger, if there was some kind of chicanery behind the scenes and if Trump was somehow levered in, I suspect the hand of Henry Kissinger being part of it. That's only a suspicion and a gut feeling, and I can't prove that, but I just have a funny feeling about that.
All right. Yeah, he's a puppet master for sure. He's been behind the scenes forever.
I call him Blofeld. He's Ernst Stavro Blofeld, you know, James Bond and Emma.
Yeah. Steve Ray, who's a good friend of mine and the kind of person I think that I would love to listen to you two guys talk and just sit back and listen, but he wants to know if there are any late-breaking updates, which is hilarious, and I think he realizes that, on the Sea People. He says that would be greatly appreciated if you have any late-breaking updates on the Sea People, of course, who are an ancient group of people that are mysterious.
Oh, yeah.
Seafaring people. Any new insights into the Sea People since the last time we talked to you?
Yes and no. I read one excellent book, and I wish I didn't know that was going to come up, or I would have checked the name and had it ready. I read an excellent book by a particular researcher who went into considerable detail about the end of the Bronze Age, which is his take on it I find quite interesting, and it might be true. The Sea People did not actually cause the end of the Bronze Age. They were a symptom of it. That what was happening at the end of the Bronze Age is largely what we see happening today. There was a very large international community with a hell of a lot of international business ties. But the various different civilizations were becoming corrupt and falling apart from within. And the Sea Peoples were a product of that. So they accelerated the demise by their attacks. Basically, everyone's economy was starting to fall apart due to a lot of internal corruption. And a whole lot of people just struck out and found what they could get. So in that sense, yes, I consider that a valid insight. I'm not sure he's correct. There's no way to prove it.
Right.
But it's a very interesting theory, and it's certainly one that I consider very seriously.
Mm. Well, I do find the Sea People fascinating, so I'd like to delve more into that someday in the future. We did the whole pirate show last year, but we'll see.
Which was fun.
Yeah. It's always fun talking to you, dude. Yeah, that was a great one. Tonight's
I was afraid we might alienate everyone. I'd say, what the fuck all this pirate shit? I don't want to read this crap.
Oh, God. They'd listen to us read the phone book on this thing if they had to. So Klaus, we talked about these people all over the world. Klaus Hager in Berlin wants to know if you've looked into channeling, and if you have, what do you make of it?
First off, my people are from Berlin. We came from Prussia back in 1871. Just want to let you know that.
Very nice. Yeah, was that the origins of the Rux name? It's a very
yeah.
strong Rux. It's a very I like your name a lot.
Yes, it is. It's old Prussian. We came from Berlin in 1871, right after the creation of the Second Reich under Otto von Bismarck, just so everybody knows.
If I ever become a professional wrestler, I'm going to use Rux as my name. It's like the perfect.
There you go.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing.
It's kind of a strong name, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone who wields a steel chair would have a name like that. So,
okay, anyway, what was the question again?
Channeling. What do you think of channeling?
Well, I'm always highly suspicious of channeling. You may be familiar with the Nine. There's this group called the Nine.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with it, but I'm familiar with it, but not enough that I should be able to speak to it. It's complex.
Well, the reason I bring them up is because they were connected with some multi-billionaires, the Bronsky family in Canada, the owners of Seagram's, I think it is. They're extremely rich, and they were deeply connected in the entire Nine phenomenon. The Nine phenomenon was this channeling bunch, where they were channeling messages from the original the nine original creator gods. That's how they got their name. And they just spouted all kinds of ridiculous nonsense, but they had a whole lot of very interesting people paying attention to them and trying to bring them into their circle. One of those guys was Gene Roddenberry, who apparently he was highly suspicious of them, and he asked some kind of test questions to feel them out, and I got the same impression that he did from it, which is that these guys are putting me on. This is just a joke. But he didn't completely throw it out. That's where you get Deep Space Nine, and where you get the pattern for the primary characters in Star Trek Next Generation. He didn't completely rule that stuff out, or he at least took it to heart and was able to incorporate it into its science fiction.
Yeah.
But I am as suspicious as he is about someone channeling. Because if someone's channeling, you have no way of verifying the information, and they are trying to manipulate you for a reason. It's like a seance, and you always have to be suspicious of any kind of seance. There's a motivation for people to lie to you, and it's a very strong motivation. And ultimately, they're after money or some kind of influence that they believe they can get from you.
Yeah.
So where I wouldn't necessarily rule out channeling, I would simply say that I'm extremely suspicious of it in all instances.
I'm in the same boat, actually. I don't really find channeling. Yeah, like you said, you got to take somebody's word for it in a sense, and that's not good enough for me. I'm incredibly cynical, so I've been around this
yeah.
thing long enough.
Since I have no way to verify it, and since there are way too many motivations for people to want to fake it, I genuine channeling taking place.
He also wants to know your thoughts on Sasquatch, which I don't think we've ever talked about on the show.
No, I don't think we have either. I believe in it, actually. I believe Sasquatch exists.
Well, you're in good company. You don't have to say actually like you're going to be looked at like a lunatic on this show. This is Sasquatch country, man. We're all for Sasquatch.
Yeah, I believe that he exists. And I do not at all find it incredible that we do not find Sasquatch. He just doesn't want to be found. And look, this is like I said about the Amazon. There are just certain places you can't go, you know? And it's not like Sasquatch wants us to know that he's there.
Right, exactly. Do you think it's like, where do you think it falls on the scale of like sentience? Do you think it's like a bear, or you think it's like an ape, or you think it's like more of a human, sort of a lost, a missing link, all that stuff. Where do you think it falls in that range?
That I really don't know.
Or interdimensional. There's a lot of paranormal people think it's paranormal. So what about that?
I kind of discount the interdimensional thing. It's just because I go with Occam's razor. What's the likeliest explanation?
Right.
The likeliest explanation, it is some species that we simply have not really encountered, except, you know, occasionally and accidentally. We simply don't encounter each other very much. It's kind of like deep sea life. We don't encounter deep sea life because it can't live in our environment, and we can't live in its environment. So occasionally we might find some deep sea species by probe that we haven't encountered before, but it's not like we're going to be regularly bumping into each other. The whole reason that the myth of the Kraken came up, or the giant squid, people didn't see giant squids very often. You had to be in particular waters at particular times to be attacked by one, and so it became a myth. That doesn't mean that there wasn't an actual creature there. It was probably the giant squid.
Yeah.
So I tend to think whatever Sasquatch is, I'm not sure what species, and I would be fascinated to find that out. I think that's the real question there. If he does exist, what is his species? Is he a species of ape, or is he a species of Homo sapiens that branched off at some point? That, I think, it would be the central question. Once you determine that, yes, he actually does exist. And I can't say for a fact that he does. I definitely do not discount the stories about him. And that doesn't mean there aren't people out there faking it and trying to get attention or what have you. But I do think there's something to that, and there probably is there's some form of life out there that we have not encountered yet.
I'll throw an idea that I just thought of while you were saying that, because I always just assumed it was a species of ape. But now that you say that... I'll go out on a limb here. This is the only kind of conspiracy theory that could come up 90 minutes into a Ruxgiving special, but What if the Bigfoot's actually like some kind of offshoot of the sloth? And that's why...
I wouldn't necessarily discount that either.
And that's why we can't find it. Because even if you're like in the forest looking for it, it could be like way up in the tree. It could just go up in the tree and hang out there 23
ignoring
hours a day
him.
And come down for 1 hour to
ignoring
eat.
Ignoring it because
yeah.
it has no interest in it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Just go back up and hang out in the tree, you know?
That's a very interesting theory and definitely one that I would put in the hopper.
Yeah. So Bigfoot researchers, go out there, start looking up. Start looking up. You might find the Bigfoot up there. See
that is an excellent observation, and I would agree.
Thank
Don't
you.
Limit yourself.
Like I said, that just popped into my head. It's the kind of idea that, you know, and folks can do the math, but it's the kind of idea that only comes up 90 minutes into a Ruxgiving special. So,
think outside
but,
the box. Well, and
yeah,
I've got
yeah.
you know a good portion of a Claymore Ale in me, too, and that helps.
That's the joke, yes. Hence the 90 minutes into the show. Jason Braun wants to know what you... He knows he likes the deep... Let me start over. Jason Braun has a question for Bruce. He says he knows you like the DC movies, but have you watched the animated DC movies? And
you
have, okay. And have you ever seen a movie called The Wraith? It's a favorite of his since childhood, and it stars Charlie Sheen as a possible ghost reincarnated guy alien with an incredibly rad car. If either of you have not seen it, then please check it out. I will definitely not be watching The Wraith. Sorry, Jason. Lastly, I know one of you watched Stranger Things, right? If so, discuss. I have not watched Stranger Things. I heard it's good. Sorry, Jason, I will not watch The Wraith. I don't have time to watch some 80s movie with Charlie Sheen as a ghost or something. But I hope that Bruce has seen it, and maybe he can shed some insight.
I have seen it. I only barely remember it. The 1980s were the early part of the 1980s were literally a blur to me. I barely remember.
I assume it's the 80s. I mean, it could be the 90s, but I've never
heard
of it.
I think it was the
80s. I've never heard of
it. I think it was the 80s.
Yeah.
I can't really comment on that too much. I do remember it, but I don't remember it that well. I kind of tuned 1980s movies out. I hated the 1980s. Just couldn't stand them. That's when we're looking at, you know, the worst possibilities of a Trump presidency coming up with the Republican administration, those are the nightmares that I have in the back of my head.
It's going to be the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s were just a fucking nightmare for me. They were horrible.
Well, they want that's what they mean by make America great again. Like, make it like the 80s. I'm afraid, but we'll see.
Dear God, I hope not. And yes, I am afraid of that in the back of my mind.
Wouldn't that be like the peak of Trump? When he was, like, at his most, till now? Who knows?
Sadly, yes.
So,
that does occur to me.
Yeah, he's like Al Bundy. He wants to take us back to Pokeye. What about the DC movies? Have you watched the... Let's move off of that. The Wraith. We don't know anything about The Wraith. Sorry, Jason. Bruce, you should check it out, because you like this kind of thing. Maybe you can watch it. My plate is full. What about the DC movies? Have you watched the animated ones? And
I love DC. Now, the DC movies, the live-action ones, I don't know what it is about DC, but you compare them to the Marvel Studios movies. Marvel Studios treats all of its characters with love, and they realize them as best as they possibly can, and that's why the fans love them. I'm not a huge Marvel Comics fan, but I love the Marvel Comics movies. They're very well done. The vast majority of them are just fantastic. DC movies, when they're live-action, suck. And the reason that they suck is because DC seems to say, how can we most fuck up these characters beyond recognition? They don't realize the characters. They try to reinvent them into something that they never were, so you don't recognize them when you see them and say, I can't relate to this. Why
yeah.
the hell are you doing this? Batman versus Superman was the worst offender. Now, the animated stuff is entirely different. Batman the Animated Series could not better have embodied Batman. Could not. It was fantastic. And Suicide Squad, I've not seen the live one yet. I'll be renting that when it becomes available, and I'm actually looking forward to it even though it didn't get good reviews. But the animated movie of it, that was fantastic. That was funny as hell. I just watched Justice League versus Teen Titans. I loved that. I love the DC animated movies. I think that those are really fine.
All right. What about Stranger Things? I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's really good.
I have not seen Stranger Things only because I don't have streaming. That's one
of those
that I'll probably...
You don't have Netflix, do you? I figure you'd be all over that.
Oh, I've got Netflix. I just don't have streaming. It used to be I wasn't really... It's only recently that I've gotten set up to where I really could use streaming, realistically. So I might actually get into that. Now, that's one of those that I'm just kind of waiting for to come out on disc.
What do you mean you don't have streaming? You don't have Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I've got Wi-Fi. I just don't have streaming. I don't subscribe to streaming.
So you don't subscribe to Netflix?
No, I subscribe to Netflix.
It's on Netflix, Stranger Things.
Yes, I know.
I'm totally confused. How are you not?
All right. I rent discs from Netflix. I'm not subscribed to the streaming.
Oh, my God. You're like one of the three people left who get the discs?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, Bruce. Just pay the extra $3 and get the stream. You'd love it. I know you're a bit underwater at the moment, but it's worth the extra like $3 or $4. It's really quite a catalog.
Yeah, I may get around
stuff.
To it. The thing is, I don't know what all I would watch. I would definitely watch Stranger Things, no question of that. I did very much enjoy, and I'm looking forward to watching Stranger Things. Everyone I know has recommended it to me, and I'm absolutely certain I will love it. Just finished watching Channel Zero on Sci-Fi, Candle Cove. I love that, which just from what I've heard of Stranger Things, is kind of Sci-Fi's equivalent of it. That was a very bizarre show, and it was kind of nightmarish, and that kind of a low-key X-Files feel to it that I really liked, a nice atmosphere. So I very much enjoyed that, and I am looking forward to seeing Stranger Things. It's kind of like this. I'm just not in a hurry to see it. When I'm able to see it, yeah, I'll just get around to it, and I'll look forward to it. It's something that I can anticipate.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet either, but maybe I'll watch it this holiday weekend. During the downtime. All right, Dennis Moore, he sounds like he has a problem with you, Bruce. He says he wants to know where you got your info about contactees. He says in Hollywood versus – he says in H versus FS. What is Hollywood? I don't know what.
Hollywood versus the flying saucers.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Hollywood versus the aliens.
Hollywood versus the aliens. My original title for it was Hollywood versus the flying saucers. This thing that he asked about.
Eerie. He says in the book, you say that abductees are into S&M and bondage, but he has only read that in your book and no other book. So he's curious as to where you got that information from.
My first is recited in the text. That came from Bud Hopkins and from David Jacobs.
Well, David Jacobs he's mixed up in a lot of problems.
David Jacobs got mixed up. His first book was fantastic. After his first book, he got beleaguered by a bunch of fake abductees and all kinds of nuts out of the woodwork, whom he bought. And he went a little bit nutty. But his first book was really fantastic.
Okay, well, there you go. I don't really follow abductions that much, so it's not really.
And it also, as we said, it's not like universal. It's not like every abductee.
Right, symptom. Exactly.
But there does seem to be some kind of a tendency toward that. And those were my sources for that. The exact books, Jacob's book was Secret Life, and I don't remember which Hopkins books, but I have them listed in my bibliography and probably in my notes.
All right. Well, there's people in the chat room complaining that I'm not reading their questions when they had like 4 days to submit questions ahead of everyone. But we only have a couple left. So I tell you what, folks in the chat rooms, put out your questions now and we'll get them to Bruce because you guys were cool enough to hang out in the chat room. So.
Sure.
Yeah, and then we'll do one of the questions from the list.
That's good by me.
Yeah. I'm trying to manage all these people. All right, Crystal Reith, who's extremely excited about this episode. She's been posting a lot on the Facebook. She wants to know what you believe happens in the afterlife. Do you follow the traditional Egyptian belief in regards to what they thought happens during death, that it's only a temporary interruption to life? Very curious about what you believe occurs and why you feel this way.
Well, that's a really interesting question. We're getting into spirituality there. I almost regret to say that I believe in reincarnation. And the reason I say that is because I cannot imagine any number of times going through junior high that would be beneficial. But I do, in general, have a tendency to believe in reincarnation. I have some personal reasons for believing that I really can't get into because it would take too long. And no, I am not certain that I'm correct. It could be that I'm entirely incorrect on that. But yes, in general, I do tend to believe in reincarnation, and I think the Egyptians were an incredibly wise civilization. They went through periods of degeneration, and most of what we know about them came from the period where they had forgotten a lot of their original wisdom and the sources of it. But I do believe that they were simply spiritually very advanced, that they had kind of mapped the territory of the afterlife, if you will. I do believe that. I can't prove that. It is a theory. It is something that I generally believe, and I cannot be certain that it is true, but I do tend to believe it, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Kimberly Reck wants to know if you think the banks will crash the economy because Trump won. Why would they do that?
No.
They'd just be shooting themselves in the foot.
No, I don't think that'll happen.
Okay.
There's a whole lot of alarmist stuff out there right now. People are just afraid, and I understand why they're afraid. We're looking at some big change coming down the pike. I am not looking forward to a whole lot of that big change myself. I'm hoping that some of it will be good. That's one of those where, you know, you can just cross your fingers and roll your eyes heavenward and hope. Because what else can you do?
Yeah.
But no, I don't think the banks are going to crash. They said the same thing with Brexit. Brexit has not happened yet. I mean,
the banks did crash at first on Brexit, but there was barely a blip when Trump got elected, and then they surged. At least Wall Street did. So it's like I think business thinks it's going to be good for them, and it probably will as long as he doesn't do something insane.
Yeah, I cannot understand why any Republicans would think that, or any financiers would believe that a Republican administration is going to be bad for them. I can't understand that one at all. But no, I don't think it's going to be a problem. Thanks.
Right. To jump back to Crystal, she wants me to make sure that I let you know how much we, the audience, and me too, how much we love you and look forward to hearing from you every year. She says she wants more, and she's listened to your interviews, our shows, so much that she's practically memorized them, and the couple on YouTube that you did with Jeff Rentz after your book was published. So I didn't know there were bootleg Rux Rentz interviews out there. I'll have to check those out sometime.
I'm glad to know those are out there. Jeff Rentz is one of the best interviewers in the business. I absolutely loved being on his show. I was on it twice. He's one of the best interviewers that I've ever been with. You are probably, I would have to say you're the best, but I definitely enjoyed being with Jeff Rentz. I very much enjoyed my time with him. And those were very good interviews. And I haven't really changed my mind on anything that I said during them. So, yeah, if those are posted, you might want to go listen to those.
Yeah. Okay, Alec Man in the chat room wants to know if you think the occult magic that's hidden in societies and aliens. Come on, Alec Man, you got to. He wants to know, do they have anything in common? He fucked up the whole verbiage of this. This is why we don't open it up till the end for the chat room, folks. What do you think the occult magic that's hidden in societies and aliens have in common?
I'm not sure I quite got all of that. Could you say it a little more clearly?
What do you think the occult magic that's hidden in societies and aliens have in common?
Societies and aliens.
Yeah, I'm baffled. Alec, man, we need more details here. Luckily, he's in the chat room, so.
Yes, if you're in the chat room, clarify that a little bit, because I'm not sure exactly what you're asking.
Yeah, what do you mean by occult magic?
I'll define one thing right off the bat. Occult and magic are not the same thing. Occult merely means hidden, cryptic, secret clues.
So he's saying let's try and decipher what he's asking here. He says that there's occult magic. No, don't say sorry, Elect Man. Give us more details.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize for it.
Yeah, you don't
have to
apologize, dude. It's just we're completely in the dark here on this. So he's saying there's occult magic hidden in societies, which I guess is sort of like the idea, let's say, of like the all-seeing pyramid hidden on the dollar bill or hiding in.
Oh, place. Yeah, yeah, okay.
And aliens. Yep. So it's like, is there – I think I kind of am understanding now the more I think about it, maybe what he's saying. That like, is there a connection between sort of like – I don't know anything about aliens performing occult magic. I think that's where the confusion lies with me. It's like where I don't know any – You know, I guess there are sort of occult underpinnings maybe to the alien lore, but I mean, I don't really necessarily associate it directly like with the occult, but
right.
You know, jump in here.
What we need to do here, what we need to do here, is differentiate magic and the occult. They're not the same thing. Occult is hidden symbol.
Right.
Occult merely means hidden.
So we're saying hidden magic
by symbols. Not magic. Magic is something entirely different. The occult, for instance. The Masons are an occult society. They use a lot of cryptic symbols, many of which they borrowed from antiquity, where you get the eye in the pyramid, Novus Ordo, the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New Order of the Ages, which is back to that question. The Founding Fathers believed the United States had some kind of manifest destiny, too. The question is whether or not we are interpreting as manifest destiny today is what our Founding Fathers were interpreting as manifest destiny for America's greatness.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there are occult societies, and a lot of their symbolism does come straight from antiquity. That's where the red, white, and black come from. The Nazis definitely tapped into it. The United States taps into it with the New World Order and all of that. The Eye in the Pyramid, all
right,
of that
right.
kind of.
He says, yeah. So, he says we're on the track down of what he's asking. So, yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
And I want to stress this. You got nothing to apologize for, man. I'm just one guy, and I'm not upset.
No,
I just need a little more clarification.
No, and I'm just some asshole trying to read it in the chat room, so bear with me, Luckman, you know?
Sure. Yeah, we just need
all, to... I can only work with the words I'm given, so it's like, what? And we're live.
Yeah, you're
so.
Fine, man. You're fine.
Yeah, we're all buddies here. Don't worry about that. Yeah, it makes sense in a way that, you know, this hidden secret knowledge, that's kind of like, that's what is the secret knowledge, you know? What else would the secret knowledge be? We know everything. We know pretty
right.
much everything, like, we know germs make you sick. Maybe that was,
yep.
you know, maybe that was part of it back in the ancient times, where it's like there's these little things that are called germs that make you sick. But I doubt it because people, you know, were dying left and right from things that easily could have been avoided. So
right.
it's like, what other secret
I believe there was
knowledge
a time, there was,
don't we know yet?
Well, it was probably a deeper time in antiquity when that was not the case, when in essence we were closer to the gods, and there are some religious texts that do actually indicate that. Like Mesopotamian texts, Sumer and such,
yeah,
that indicate that there was a time we were much closer with the gods, and we did have cures to lots of diseases and all of that. But then when you get into the myth of the fall and the separation of man from the gods, from God or the gods, however you want to interpret it, we kind of fell into a dark ages. There was a problem there. And yeah, a lot of knowledge just degenerated. But we still have a vague memory of that. We have a dim memory of it, which is passed on in all of our myths and all of our legends. It's the type of thing that I'm writing about in my books.
Yeah.
That's what I think was, that's the origin of our religions.
All right. Let me see. We got one more from the listeners. We have a horrifying one that I'll get to in a minute. But the last one that came in through traditional means comes from Darren Stoke. He wants to know... He wants us to discuss a little bit about Stephen Hawking's statements that we should really be trying to... He says he wants some discussion over some of Stephen Hawking's statements, like, should we really be trying to contact aliens? Stephen Hawking says it's not a good idea. They may prove to be dangerous. Also, the newer one, where he said Earth has about 1,000 years left to support human life, I would be interested in hearing what kind of avenues both of your minds tread down on those issues. Well, that's a profound compliment, Darren, that you care what I think of these issues, but I'll be happy to tell you, and I'm sure Bruce will too. So what do you think is the deal here with Stephen Hawking? I'm going to sound like the biggest asshole, but it's Ruxgiving, so I think I can get away with it, but I think Stephen Hawking just likes to say shit that's provocative, or at least the media takes things that he says. Yeah.
I did not develop any respect for Stephen Hawking at all until he admitted that his black hole theories could be wrong. He actually finally came out and said that. And I said, you know what? I wanted to roll you off a cliff in your wheelchair. I was so sick of you. But once you said that, I developed a newfound respect for you. What he meant when he was saying that maybe it's not a good idea that we try and contact alien races is simply what I call wise precaution. We don't know who all is out there. We don't know. And we are supposing that alien life does exist, and we don't know how many races there are or where they come from or what their intentions are. So the thing in the world that you want to do is just kind of openly send out a welcome mat to God knows who, because maybe they're space Nazis. And we don't want them rolling in. You don't want to necessarily advertise your presence. What was that? Man of Steel. In Man of Steel, you know, you got the Kryptonians. From a dead civilization who come back and find out that one of theirs is on Earth. They find that out because there's a signal left from his ship that sent him here.
Yeah.
Well, they've got an interest in our planet that is not in our best interest. Their best interest is, well, we have to terraform this planet into our planet so that we can live here. And that means getting rid of all the locals. And that's an extreme viewpoint, but, I mean, you can't rule that out. So I think that when Hawking was saying that, he was just exercising what I would call wise precaution.
Yeah, and I think he just says shit that to be provocative. That, you know, I don't, like, who's going to necessarily disagree? It's like it's, he kind of errs on the side of caution, as you're saying, in a sense where it's like, you know, in a thousand years, he's not going to be around to have to account for this prediction. So it's sort of like an easy, you know,
sure.
He's not saying we only have 25 years to make it or something, or 5 years. He's like, 1,000 years. Who knows? Could be 1,000 years, could be 200 years. It's like.
Well, and I want to stress, too, while I do think that the defense establishment probably tweaks its information to make the entire phenomenon more hostile, that is not to say that they don't have some wise precautions in worrying about what might be out there. Of course they have to think about that kind of thing. That's what they're paid to think about. Someone does have to, and I'm glad that they do.
Yeah. So, I mean, should we be trying to contact aliens? I think so. I would love
I
it.
I think if, so, too.
I think, I forget what show it was. May have been Ruxgiving last year, but I'd love to see a movie that, I guess Arrival's like that. I haven't seen it, but.
I haven't either, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'd like to see a movie where, and like I said, I think maybe, I guess someone who's seen Arrival can correct me, but a movie where, like, Earth is visited by a probe, like we send to these other planets and shit. I guess in Arrival, it's like giant spaceships, so it's different. I'm talking a little more the kind of thing maybe you and I could film on a tight budget. You know what I mean?
You know
where,
what
like,
they should make a movie out of? There was a story exactly like that that they really should make a movie out of by Arthur C. Clarke called Rendezvous with Rama. And that's exactly what it's about. We encounter an alien space probe. We don't find that much out about it. I mean, we go in. We discover there's an alien race. This is one of their probes. We're able to determine, you know, a few things about them from what we find. But then the probe leaves. It's met our solar system and it goes. That's a very thought-provoking story, really. But you can't make much of a plot out of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nothing really happens except we find an alien race and they move on.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's it for those. Now, in the chat room, my good friend Red Sun Superman, we may carry this one over to after the live show. Obviously, you're good to go past the hour, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's Ruxgiving, for God's sakes.
I'm here as long as everyone's here.
All right, nice. You may regret that when I get to the... We're done with the traditional listener questions, but your obsessed fan Joe Vallejo has sent in, or Joe V., has sent in a monstrous email, so we'll try and get to as many of those as we can, but he has a problem. But Red Sun Superman, who's a dear friend of mine, a very good guy, he wants a good pirate story, because we haven't had a good pirate story tonight. But first, I had the pleasure of having Red Sun Superman come out to visit here, and we went up to America's Stonehenge in New Hampshire. I was wondering if you know anything about that, or have looked at it at all, or studied it or anything like that, because it's an interesting site, you know, for odd, weird stuff.
Is it an actual Stonehenge, or is it a mound?
It's a complex. It's like a prehistoric complex, they think.
Okay.
Of, like, it's hard to explain, but the real keystone to it is like a weird chamber with like little passageways and sort of like a little cubby hole that they think was for like sacrifices or channeling or you know, there's a lot of interpretations to it. It's a complex, vast stone structure of sorts in Salem, New Hampshire. Yeah.
How similar is it to Newgrange?
I don't know enough about Newgrange to say. It's nothing like Stonehenge. They only like say that it's America's Stonehenge because it's like the, you know,
the oldest known Stone Age artifact.
Yeah, and you know something, dude. I honestly, having visited there, I don't think I've really even talked about this on the show, but we can talk about it, you know, tonight. It was discovered by some guy, like, in the 50s or something, and I think it's also the product of a fantastic, like, marketing campaign.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, the name America's Stonehenge is, like, they have the... And I guarantee you it's fucking trademarked now. But, you know, it's... And it's a little quaint, unassuming sort of patch of land in Salem, New Hampshire, but, you know, you pay $15 to go up into the woods and look at this weird stone... like structures and shit that aren't really, you know, they're pretty amazing, but it's like, I have no idea, There's no reason why some dedicated asshole in, like, the 1800s couldn't have built it. You know what I mean? So I don't necessarily know. I don't necessarily know, like, it's not as awe-inspiring and vast and fantastic as a Stonehenge, in a sense, you know?
Well, I can give you one pointer in that. If you really want to investigate that and know how old it is, what you need to do is find out what the central structure would have looked like when it was fully intact, first off. Second off, you need to see whether it aligns with the solstitial sun. If it was built by the ancient architects, then it will align with the solstice. That's pretty much a given. And that will tell you how old it is.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all I can tell you about that.
Yeah, like I said, it's I thought it was neat, but not breathtaking. That's probably the best way to
right.
put it. Of the things that I visited, I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting, but I wasn't like...
Well, what's funny, you know, a lot of people feel that way about Stonehenge when they see it.
Yeah.
And it is an amazing structure, there's no question about it, especially for when it was constructed. But a lot of people are not that wowed by it when they see it. It just doesn't look as big as they expected it to be. When you're next to the Great Pyramid, if you're standing right next to the Great Pyramid, it doesn't look as impressive as you think it's going to, because you can't really get a sense of the size and scope of it standing next to it.
Yeah.
You kind of either have to see it from the plateau, when then you really see how immense it is, or go inside it, and then you feel how immense it is. That's just amazing. That's a religious experience of its own.
Red Sun says it did line up with the solstice, he thinks, but I can't confirm that. I have no recollection.
If it lined up with the solstice, then it is ancient.
All right. Well, someone Google that. we're going to lose the live audience, so thanks to Red Sun, Superman, Kimberly Wreck, and Elec Man in the chat room, and thank you to Darren, Crystal, Dennis, Jason, Klaus, Steve, PJ, Joey, Steve, James, Chris, Steven, Kevin, Marco, Corey, and David for submitting questions. And I hope all three of you Steves weren't the same guy, but I'm pretty sure they weren't. But thanks to all those guys and gals for submitting questions. Much appreciated. And we'll continue on, you know, past the live show. So let me just say goodnight to the chatters.
And my best to our international listeners. I didn't know we had them. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. It's not maybe a holiday where you're at, but, you know, have one for us.
Yeah. Well, we have Scotland, Berlin, and, Scotland, Germany, and an expat in China. So, and I bet you, and someone in the chat room, too, he's gone now. I don't remember his name, but he was from China as well, something like the Crane or something like that. So, yeah, it's crazy. People all over the world listening. It's unbelievable. Okay, so pirate story. You got a good pirate story we haven't heard on the show?
Let me think.
You know what might be good is I don't know if we talked about it on here. I know Red Sun really likes it. What's your take on Oak Island? Have we talked about that?
Our take on what?
Oak Island.
Oh, Oak Island. Yeah, there are so many different theories on Oak Island. Man, would that be something to crack. my guess is that was either built by the Templars or by the Elizabethans. And I think Inigo Jones had something to do with that. They were pretty remarkable architects, and they could come up with something like that. But the Templars could have also. certainly, I would love to find out what's under there and beat that particular puzzle.
Yeah.
That is one tough nut to crack.
It's interesting, yeah. Have you, I'm going to assume you haven't. I'm lucky enough to have been able to go to Oak Island once, but you can't really, like, go explore it and shit. I think they
it's
open
too
it
dangerous.
Once a year now.
It's too dangerous.
Well, there's a guy there, too, you know. It's like, he's kind of an old hermit type of dude. I mean, he's not like a crazy hermit, but you know what I mean. He lives on Oak Island. He has to deal with fucking assholes all the time, I'm sure. So you don't want to run afoul of that guy.
Sure.
That's
understandable.
All right. Well, we don't, Should we do any, is there a pirate story? I took you off base, but to Oak Island, but you don't really have any thoughts on that. Anything new with pirates you want to mention? What about the pirate book possibility? Have you thought more about that now that you have some downtime?
Well, I could, and yeah, I might. That is a possibility. because I do have an awful lot to say about that that connects with Templars and Freemasons. I know Freemasons would love me to write that book. They bother me about that all the time. And I would think, oh, when are you going to write that book about the pirates? When are you going to write about that? When are you going to write about the Templars? I might. I need to get the right kind of software really set up to do everything in proper PDF format and all that kind of thing. I'm having to start all over again in learning how to... I wrote my first books on a word processor, but it wasn't the same thing. It's a little bit different now. You get the whole PDF business and all that, and I need to know how to get proper formats and all that. And I don't have anyone to show me these things.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of starting anew on a lot of this stuff. And I had the same problem getting my books back into print because I've never been in the position where I had to self-publish before. And that's what everybody does now.
Yeah.
Even if it's a reprint, you self-publish. And I've got no guide to show me what the right way to go about that is so I don't, you know, do the wrong thing. Once I figure out what the hell I'm doing, and it would help if I had some suggestions, then I'll be more than happy to get those books back into print. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still available. You can get them. But I would like to get them back into print.
All right. Okay, so I was teasing you here, or teasing Joe V about this. This guy's, like, obsessed. And I'm going to do, if it's okay with you... I shouldn't ask you this like during the program, but if it's okay with you, can I just forward? We'll do the questions anyway, or as many as we can. But can I just forward your email to him so you can elaborate more, and you know, if you choose to. So
yeah, that's fine.
All right. If you read the email and you're like, okay, this guy sounds like someone who may show up at my back door, just feel free to say it got lost in spam. It'll be fine. But I he's clearly a huge fan. He writes like you do. You know how you send me these long emails, and I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know. I can't write back to Bruce all this. He sends, like, these emails like this, so I think you guys would be good pen pals. He wants to know. Well, when you see the email, you'll see what I'm talking about. There's a wall of text here, so I'm just going to condense it down into an actual question.
Sure.
He notes that in the last year, there were two big stories about possible indicators of aliens out in space. This alien megastructure star. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I told him in response that I was certain that Bruce did not know about the alien megastructure. But the alien megastructure. They found a star. It's dimming. They don't understand why it's dimming. And one of the theories is that it's. It's surrounded by an alien megastructure, believe it or not.
Interesting.
To harness the energy of the star by an advanced race. I'm probably butchering the story, but that's what a legitimate scientific paper included amongst the possibilities. And to give even more detail, actually, in a sense, I actually know one of the astronomers who was like the third or fourth listed name on the article.
Right, gotcha.
On the journal entry. And he said that the whole, like, hypothesis was probably, like, included as a way to generate interest and get it, you know, out of the journal and into the eyes of, like, the media and shit. You know what I mean? So it was kind
that
of like
a... That is entirely possible. You know, John Brandenburg came out not too long back and... He's a plasma physicist. I mean, this is a credentialed government scientist. And he actually said that we can map what happened on Mars. He said there were two enormous thermonuclear explosions on Mars that destroyed it, that ripped out its atmosphere and destroyed it. And you can trace exactly where they happened, and it explained the exact radiation readings and exact chemical and gas readings that we get. I don't know whether he's right or not, but the mere fact that he is a credentialed scientist... And he is just firmly convinced that that's the only real interpretation of the data. I find to be very, very interesting. Now, putting that information out there, we have some scientists now talking about this alien megastructure. We've got John Brandenburg talking about Mars being destroyed by two enormous thermonuclear explosions that were quite deliberate. When you have credentialed scientists coming out and saying things like this, it's harder to dismiss. But I do think that there is a substantial part of the intelligence community that would like to talk about this stuff and would like to start getting it into the public mind a lot more than it is. This is not a bad way for them to start because they can always backpedal later.
Yeah.
They always say, well, you know, this guy was wrong. He misinterpreted this. Or, well, he didn't really know what he was talking about. There are always ways that you can backpedal. But when you do have credentialed scientists coming out and at least making the proposition and showing what it is they have, that's an excellent way to start feeding it a little more into the public mind and give it some credence.
Yeah. All right. Well, that first question is even more complex, but I think what we covered there is sufficient, and you and him can connect on that one, because there's eight of these. So do you think reports of exoplanets get more traction than the previous stories that he mentioned? He also mentioned like a wow signal that was disproven regarding possible indicators of intelligent life. He's essentially asking, if like the tease of how there's so many exoplanets is to sort of like condition people in the sense where it's like there's tons of planets out there. They're far enough away where they can't hurt us, and one of them might have aliens. You know what I mean? They're kind of like we're taking a step in the right direction.
It's like getting people to think about it without worrying them. Yeah, I think that's kind of deliberate.
I agree. I think so.
There's been a tremendous thrust. During especially the latter half of the Obama administration, toward getting us back into the space race, only using Mars instead of the moon. That's the new thing, and there's been a real push for that. You see a lot of science fiction popping up on TV and in The Martian in the movies.
Yeah.
No,
going to Mars
really...
is definitely, like, you can tell it's, if we talk about sort of like the media conditioning us to things, it's like there's definitely a conditioning process at work here that, like, we have to go to fucking Mars.
Yes.
You know?
And it's identical to the one that we had during the Kennedy administration with the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I see a definite thrust. We're trying to push for NASA, push for space exploration. A lot of that is to benefit the defense industry because that's the ones that profit most from all of that.
Yeah.
But there has been a definite thrust toward pushing the public consciousness into supporting that that endeavor. And that is something that I very definitely noticed, and it's worth commenting on.
All right. Going back to your thesis behind Architects of the Underworld, this is an interesting one that I told him. I gave him shit and said I would only read like three of them, but I'll try and get through all of them. And this one I thought really stood out as one that I was like, oh, that's an interesting question. Based on your thesis behind Architects of the Underworld, when do you speculate was the last time humanity had contact with its progenitor race?
That is a very good question.
I agree, yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I'm reasonably certain that there has been some kind of contact behind the scenes between whatever alien race or races are out there and various world governments. What
ongoing.
The extent of that contact has been, I couldn't say. And that's the kind of thing that only the presidents and the various rulers would know themselves.
Okay, so you're saying it didn't stop like in ancient times, necessarily.
Right. I don't think it fully stopped in ancient times. I do believe there's been some kind of ongoing communication. And I do believe that probably that has extended to world governments today, at least to some extent. What that extent is and how much communication has taken place, I have no way of knowing. But I would be kind of surprised if there had not.
Well, here's an interesting observation in a sense. It's like the whole lore of the ancient aliens and the UFO lore is like that they were there back in the day, right? They were there at the beginning, and now they're here, okay? They're back. Well, that's the thing. Are they back, or have they been here
maybe
all along?
Maybe they never left.
Yeah, but the question, but when you think about it, though, it's like, I wonder if there's some kind of like mental bias at work or something like that, because there's part of me that's like, okay, let's like journey back to like the Renaissance. Were there really like secret meetings between the Queen of England during the Renaissance and aliens? Like, to me, that seems unfathomable. Like, so maybe did they come back? I think they came back, but I don't know. Or maybe they made themselves more overt. But go on. I'm sorry. Go on.
Well, using Elizabethan England for an example, which is a good one, John Dee, the original 007, I mean, his actual recognition numbers were 007, and he was, you know, one of the chief guys in their spy network, which was outstanding. He claimed to have had communication with the Enochian angels, quote-unquote. And, I mean, his Enochian alphabet is basically really just a logarithmic table, because at the time it was considered sorcery to practice advanced mathematics. You can get burned at the stake for it. So I think he was just concealing a lot of mathematics in some of that. But he did claim that he had communication with, you know, the ethereal spirit, spirits of the air, the Enochian beings. He may have been referring to communication with someone from out there.
Yeah.
That is a possibility. I wouldn't rule it out.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not necessarily saying, yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. It's like maybe in the interim these things were, even though we've shit all over it this evening, maybe these things, were managed via channeling or something like that, or even like surreptitious sort of encounters, but it's like that
either
maybe,
or
that maybe people thought were like aliens and, I mean, not aliens, angels and demons and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it seems like only now are they on the same page as us or something like that. Well, I guess back in the day we thought they were gods, so now we think they're aliens, but it's like...
Yeah, we went from thinking they were gods to fairies, angels, demons, whatever word you want to use.
Right.
And yeah, I think in most of those instances, not all of them necessarily, but I think in most of those instances, we're referring to exactly the same phenomenon, exactly the same people.
Right.
Simply in the expressions of the time, what they recognized as being real.
Mm. Exactly.
Now we say, well, we don't believe in demons necessarily, but we do believe that there are people out there. We believe in other planets, in life on other planets, and that they could be visiting us. That seems more credible. So it's easy to go back over the historical record, and Jacques Vallée said the same thing. He said they're describing the same phenomenon, they're just describing it in the language of their time.
Okay, now the next question, this one's like, oh, man. He says, he's got another architect's question for you. He says, in the book, you argue that Thoth is identifiable with the god of the Old Testament and New Testament, and you present the literary affinities between them. Now, I should note that Joe V is a theologian, so this is his real host. If you had to hazard a guess, would you say the ancient authors are deliberately going back to similar concepts that left their impression on humanity, or do you think there was some form of subsequent contact or communication that made the concept found in Thoth, Yahweh, or the Logos attain relevance in different cultural eras? This is so out of my fucking depth. I'm just going to turn it over to
you. No, I know exactly what he's talking about.
All right, go ahead.
I believe I know exactly what he's talking about. If I'm misinterpreting this, I apologize. Don't believe that everything began and ended with Yahweh. I do believe that Yahweh, under any number of other different names, Thoth, Yahweh, whatever name you want to use, Manan and Maclear, whatever name you want to use, I do believe that that same intelligence contacted any number of different civilizations all around the world at different times. And even in the New Testament, you can find backing for that when Jesus departed the planet and he said, I have other flocks to tend to, I have other people to preach to, I have other places to go.
Yeah.
And I believe that, yes, he did. He traveled around the world at various times in various places. He may not have been the same guy, but, you know, it was a guy from the same race and doing the same things.
Mm.
And, yes, I believe that who we would describe as Jesus has existed in numerous cultures around the world. And many of those can be named, and I do go into detail about them in Architects. I believe that was the same intelligence. There may have been some changes in the regime between some of those contacts. For instance, in the Aztecs, Quetzalcoatl was a completely benevolent god, but he was ousted by three very malevolent gods who initiated the human sacrifices and basically enslaved Quetzalcoatl's people. And Quetzalcoatl vowed he would return. And that's why Montezuma was so terrified when in the year of one reed, when it had prophesied that the Spaniards came in. Because Quetzalcoatl was a white-bearded guy, and he knew that it was his end.
Yeah.
He actually believed that. And lo and behold, look what happened. So whether they were the actual prophesied returned gods, man, that's anybody's guess. I couldn't tell you. But I do believe that there was a Quetzalcoatl, that he was the Jesus figure there, that he taught them the same thing that was taught to everyone in the New Testament, which was a continuation of what was taught in the Old Testament, and a clarification. And, yeah, I believe that that race did travel around the world, did leave their footprints, did leave their handiwork. And the mere fact that the Aztecs were taken over by another tribe is one of those indications of why we kind of have to be careful of who it is we're contacting out there. because not all of them are necessarily benevolent.
All right. Now, from that complex question, he just asks, X-Files revival, what did you think of it?
Wow, what happened?
I didn't even know. That's, again, another one out of my depth. I don't know anything about this, so just...
I thought it was nuts. I didn't see all of them. I saw most of them. I thought that his whole new conspiracy angle, it was coming straight out of the weird, furthest far right-wing conspiracy theory things, and really made no sense at all. And it really didn't connect with the original series, I didn't think. If you really want an answer to that question, I'll tell you who you need to talk to. You need to talk to Chris Knowles over at The Secret Sun, because knows flipping everything about the X-Files. And if you want to talk about that, you really should be contacting him.
Yeah, he literally wrote the book on it.
He literally wrote the book on it, and he'll give you an earful.
Yeah. I don't even know. I don't even like the X-Files, so I didn't get into it. So, any thoughts on Ridley Scott getting back into the Alien franchise with the pending release of Alien Covenant? He thought Prometheus was a wandering mess, but this one has some promise.
Prometheus was kind of a wandering mess. It is not a bad movie. I had problems with it, which is not to say that it wasn't a fantastic movie. I really did like it, and I go back and watch it every now and then. I think he needs to continue with that and clarify it a little bit better. The real problem with Prometheus was that it was just an unfinished movie. It was the launching of a franchise, and in that sense it was enormously successful, and it raised a whole lot of very interesting questions, which are the exact same questions that I talk about in Architects.
Yeah.
We are on very much the same page on all of that. And again, back to that bit that, you know, if we contact the creators, that doesn't necessarily mean that they still love us or want us around. We don't know that. It's something just to be aware of.
Right.
Exactly. Anytime Ridley Scott gets involved in the alien thing, I'm happy. I want to see more from him.
All right. Now, the penultimate question, Joe says, he doesn't know if this has ever been explored on the show before, but what is your perspective on other paranormal phenomena and the supernatural in general? Do you think it has some veracity? And do you see them as being totally distinct from the UFO phenomenon?
That is a bit too loose. I can give you some general observations, like I was saying earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, like, that's the kind of thing that we could do 2 hours on, honestly.
Right. As I was saying earlier, I do believe in God, and I do believe that the Egyptians had some genuine mystical insights that have kind of gotten lost over the years for most of us. I do believe that there's a spirit realm, if you want to call it that, a psychic realm. I'm not sure exactly how to define it, and it's too loose a question. Is that connected to aliens? Only in the sense that aliens, as I perceive them, are human beings just like ourselves and are subject to the same kind of phenomena. I do believe that there's something to that, but I need to have some far more specific areas to address.
You can't just say generally paranormal phenomena, but it's like, yeah.
Do I believe paranormal phenomena exist? Absolutely. They're paranormal because we don't know what they are. We can't define them yet.
Right.
They are phenomena. There are things that we can observe but can't explain. That doesn't mean they don't have an explanation. It just means we haven't found it yet. And eventually we won't. It'll happen.
Exactly. And now the final question of the night, and the, as he says, most important of the night, and I am in total agreement, Colorado Beer. He says he's had the good fortune of coming across some liquor stores here in the Northeast that have some Colorado brews in stock. He says they get him to veer away from the usual ales. He recently tried Breckenridge Brewery's Vanilla Bean Porter with a very subtle hint of vanilla at the end. And it goes down super smooth, he says. And when you're after a local brew, he wants to know, what are some of the ones you would pick up that you would recommend?
I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you my three favorites.
All right.
The one I'm drinking right now is from Great Divide. It's called Claymore Scotch Ale. It is not for the faint-hearted. This stuff is potent. The most potent beer I've ever had. It'll give me a hell of a buzz. I drank it too slow to get into a real buzz, but I guess that kept me coherent, so that's good.
Yeah.
One of those things will knock me for a loop for about an hour. I never plan on driving anywhere if I'm going to have a Claymore. The Dry Dock Wee Heavy is outstanding. I have trouble finding it. It's excellent, just delicious. I'm a guy who likes dark lagers.
Okay.
That's just a delicious dark lager. And another one is from the Grimm Brothers called Midnight Strikes, which is unfortunately a seasonal one, but I believe they're putting it out again any time now. It's been out for a while. I mean, it hasn't been on the shelves for a while. But my housemates actually visited the Grimm Brothers. Their whole microbrewery is the size of my kitchen and living room. All right,
wow, really?
They're just a couple of guys. And they make the best damn beer. It's really good. We buy their stuff all the time. My favorite is the Midnight Strike, personally. Three that right off the top of my head I would recommend.
All right, very nice. I think that covers it. He says, to wrap up his email, he says, thank you for joining us again on Ruxgiving. You're always a fascinating listen or read. You are, if I may be so bold, the last interesting man in the whole damn paranormal world. So that's a pretty good...
Bless you for saying so.
Yeah.
It is my pleasure to do this every year. I very much enjoy doing it. I kind of scratch my head that there are so many people that are interested in hearing from me, but I'm certainly glad, and I'm more than happy to spend time with all of you.
Yeah, dude, it's always a blessing, man. I really do, you know. It's funny that people were concerned that you thought it might not happen. There was never a shadow of a doubt in my mind we were going to do this. It was just, I don't know what happened with Thanksgiving this year. It's like snuck up on me. I think it snuck up on a lot of people. Everyone was so wrapped up in the election. By the time the election was over, it's like, wait a minute, Thanksgiving is in 2 weeks?
It was the election.
Yeah, it's
just straight up. It was the election. Like, I knew that we would do something. I figured even if it wasn't happening right before Thanksgiving, it might happen after. But I wasn't afraid it wasn't going to happen. I just thought it might be on delay.
Yeah, well, that was... Yeah, like I said, it entirely could have happened, but... I have a tremendous OCD on some things, and this was the kind of thing, like I said, I couldn't, you know, after I get off the phone with you, it's like I'm going to go fetch my Santa hat out of storage because it's time to get ready for the holiday season. You know, this kicks off the holiday
season.
Definitely
give my best to Santa treat.
Oh, I absolutely will. I absolutely will, man. So what do you
Randall
what do you
man in the field.
On
he's a grand old man in the field. I'm very glad he's still around.
Oh, absolutely. He's a legend, man. He's a... I love the guy. I really do. He's the absolute best. You know, like I said, I mean, the listeners say it, but it's like, dude, for the last 12 years I've been talking to Stan on the holiday special, and I think, I don't know what year it is with you, but it's got to be like our fifth or sixth year doing this. So, I mean, these are part of my holiday traditions. Never mind the listeners. It's like, you know, for me, it's like I get the cool extra part of like getting to call Stan like on Black Friday and be like, it's that time of year again, Stan. So
yeah. I look forward to this as much as all the rest of you do, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And probably more so. This is the only time of year that anyone knows who I am.
And what I like about interviewing you is or doing these shows is it's like so laid back that I never have to worry really about, you know, doing a good job because it's like we're just chatting,
hey,
man. You know what I mean? So this is
we're just hanging out on the porch chatting.
Yeah, this is exactly like if people were hanging out with us right now, they'd be hearing the same thing. So, and like I said, it's a pretty crazy, amazing thing that like people are, you know, that this is a part of their holiday. It's pretty like, wow, thanks. Thank you, folks. Thank you. You know, like I'm so humbled.
Well, from the source, I definitely thank all of you too, because it's obviously part of my holidays, too.
So what are you doing for the holiday? Anything exciting?
I am going to try and get the last championship that I don't have in Injustice Gods Among Us, DC Fighting Game.
Yeah, you wanted to throw down with, you said that, I asked if you fight anyone online in this game, and you said...
I only know one other guy who plays, you know, locally. And I don't know how to put that... excuse me. I don't know how to get in touch with the other fighters, or I would gladly do so. I love doing it.
Do you have a name, like that, like a username that people could search you out if they play? What's the name of the game?
The name of the game is Injustice Gods Among Us, the DC fighting game.
Okay.
My username is Suvradon. You won't have any trouble finding it because it's on the top of all the leaderboards.
All right. How do you spell it?
Suvradan.
All right. Suvradon. So if you play that game, folks, find Bruce Rux. You're at the top of the leaderboards. Jesus.
Yes, I am. I'm on 90% of the leaderboards. There's no other fighter in the world that has that many. The closest competitor is on 70% of the leaderboard. I've got 60% of the first place scores, 20% of the second place scores, One World's Finest sixth place, which is the one I'm trying to make a championship, and One World Class 16th place in the Classic Battle.
Wow.
There's nobody who's got a record anywhere close to mine.
All right. Well, if you think you can hang with Bruce Rucks, folks, go. What is this on? What system?
PlayStation 4.
Oh, okay.
I believe Xbox has it too, but it's PlayStation 4.
All right. Cool. Are you going to watch anything, or are you just going to be diving into this thing?
As a matter of fact, the guy that brought up the DC animated stuff, I'm planning on watching some DC cartoons to play through. I'm going to watch Suicide Squad again. I'm going to watch probably Justice League versus Teen Titans again. I want to go through some of my old DC superhero cartoons. I'm just in the mood for it. Largely because of the fighting game, actually, because I use a lot of these characters.
That makes sense, yeah. Well, I'll be doing my annual tradition of watching whatever the big summer movies were for comedies. I really don't like action movies. I'm really a diehard comedy fan, TV and movies.
I have the new Ghostbusters on my list to come. It's just
been on
a wait.
I was just
going to
say, I think I'm thinking about, you know, with the holiday weekend and all that, you know, you get about 4 days there, so I usually watch about three or four of the biggest movies from the summer comedies. So I want to see the Wedding Dates one. Mike and Dave or something need wedding dates. That looks funny. And there weren't any really big standout comedies, and I do want to watch the Ghostbusters movie because I love the original. Who doesn't? And I'm not like a hater of the new one, so I'm willing to give it a chance. It's like, ironically enough, it's like my Donald Trump of movies. It's like,
yeah,
let's see what they do with it. And if I come out of it going, oh, that was terrible, then, you know, I'm giving it a fair shake. I like all
there
the women
go.
In it, too. I'm not, you know, all this shit about, oh, they made the Ghostbusters ladies. All three of those women are fucking really funny. So
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how they'd fuck that up, but apparently they did. I don't know. That's what they said.
Well, I'm going to give them a chance.
Yeah.
I tend to go for comedies and cartoons on the holidays. If there was a new Scooby-Doo out, I'd be grabbing that.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, you love those Scooby-Doo movies.
I love Scooby-Doo.
Did you watch the Scooby-Doo
We go way
one?
Back. Yes. I love all of them. I flipping love all of them. Whenever I find one that I've missed, I snap it up. Scooby-Doo and I go all the way back to the very beginning. I was there the very first Saturday morning when he premiered, and I've been with him since.
Nice, nice. Well, you and Red Son Superman would be like best buddies because he's a huge, he's a diehard Scooby-Doo fan. So,
absolutely.
Oh, wait a minute, I'm thinking of Peanuts. He's a diehard Peanuts fan. I apologize. Sorry. That's
Peanuts
the kind of thing that would get me a nasty email from Red Son Superman.
Oh, man, Peanuts is good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what, aside from that, just going to try and relax and enjoy the downtime. You know, should be nice.
Me too. It's a nice time of year.
It's a great time of year. It really is.
Yes. I've got
really,
friends
really
around
is.
Me. My family's in touch with me. I've got friends around me. We're going to have a nice Thanksgiving dinner. I'll probably have some cranberry sauce.
There you go.
I'll definitely have some applesauce and all kinds of dressing and turkey and gravy and and yams. If we don't have yams, I'm going to be very unhappy.
There you go. Yeah, it's great. It's a really a fantastic time of year. It really is, and I love it. And like I said, now after I get off the phone with you, it's like Thanksgiving's here, motherfucker. You know, this is it, baby. This is the holiday. It's holiday season has begun. Rucksgiving kicks it off like a pirate's cannonball shot. So
there you go.
I can't thank you enough, man. I love you. You know that. I consider you one of my best friends in this field. I don't talk to you enough, and I feel bad about that, and I say that every year, so I got to keep in better touch with you.
I'm always here, man. Well, it's my fault, too. I should be getting more in touch with you.
Yeah. Well, we'll work on it this year. We'll work on it
this
year.
We'll work on it this year.
Yeah. Because I want to get you out to Boston sometime, if it's possible, so maybe in the future.
I would love to come out to Boston.
I'd love to have you, man. I hosted like six different people who came out to the house over the summer and the last few months. So you're always welcome if you can find the time and the funds to make the trip. You get a place to stay. You know that.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. I don't want to do a whole monologue here at the end of the show for the listeners who fucking can't stand me because I haven't done a show in ages. We're going to do the
whole thing, guys.
Yeah.
Give him a break. He's a busy guy.
Yeah. So we'll do – there's going to be a holiday special, of course. I'm going to be in touch with Stan soon. I'm working out the final details of the of the beginning of season 10, so hopefully we'll get that rolling soon. You know, hang in there. It's good. I mean, I wanted to kick off season 10 before the election. I think we would have looked like assholes anyway. So now we can address all this with the ability of hindsight being 2020 and sort of look ahead to where things are going in a more honest fashion rather than sort of, you know, speculating on the horse race back at the end of October and early November. So I think personally it worked out well for us. And so season 10, you know, probably in January, you know, honestly. But for now, definitely the holiday special. Stay tuned to Banal of America, the website, Banal of America on Facebook. That's where you can get all the information on those shows and updates on what the hell's going on with the show. And that's about it. So thank you so much, Bruce. Have an awesome holiday, and I'll be in touch before next year's Ruxgiving, I promise, pal.
Absolutely. All of you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm very glad I could share it with you, and it's always a pleasure, Tim.
Oh, man, I love it. I really do. It's one of my favorite nights of the year. So thank you so much for being a part of it again. And good night to you, Bruce, and good night to all the listeners. Thank you so much for listening, and have a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday. From Banal of America, Bruce Rux, and all of us here at BOA. So happy Thanksgiving.